शिला गुरुदेव की जय, श्रीमन महाप्रभु की जय, श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय, श्री श्री रव जी गोपाल की जय, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय, श्री वेणु गीत की जय, गौर भक्त वृंद की जय, गौर प्रेमानंद गुरु। So, pronounce all of you, welcome. And we are continuing with our series of on Sri Venu Gita. Today we are in class 22, reaching the end, maybe, let's see, of verse 18, second class where we are studying this verse, which is a glorification by the gopis, more specifically by Sri Radha, a praise of Sri Giriraj Govardhan. So we will recite the verse again first on the translation, and then we go to the recap, since it will be the same verses as yesterday. So the verse in Sanskrit first says like this: Antaya Madrira Vala Haridasa Varja Yad Rama Krishna Charanaspara Sapramoda मानं तनोति सह गोकनयोर्थयोर्जात् कनीयसूजवस कंदर कंदमूलै। So the translation is, of all the devotees, this Govardhan hill is the best. Oh my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram, along with their calves, cows and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities. Water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. So yesterday we began the study of this particular verse, a quite very well-known one, maybe the most well-known verse of the whole Venu Gita. So the gopis, remember, in the previous verse they were praising the fortune of the Pulindis, the girls from the village, if you will, from the outskirts of the village. They lived nearby Govardhan, we mentioned, so some connection with Govardhan was there. And by the gopis speaking about the Pulindis, who are in Madhurya Rasa, somehow has a romantic similar attraction than them, their own bhava started to overflow. So trying to hide that, somehow spontaneously they directed their attention to Giriraj, where the Pulindis live, addressing Giriraj not directly, but mentioning him in different ways. For example, this hill, showing some respect, or also Haridasa Barja. When they say this hill, some acharyas say the gopi who speak this verse in madness has run from the village to Govardhan, which is not so close, and start to point at Giriraj and glorify Giriraj. Or, again, if not, they address Govardhan as Haridasa Barja, the best of all of the Haridasas, observance of Hari. And their logic here is, well, we have to take shelter of a great devotee in order for our desires to be fulfilled. And we have a very intense desire, a kantika, one desire actually, that is consuming our whole existence. And there is this personality who is granting everyone's desire. So let's take shelter in Giriraj. So they address Govardhan as Haridasa Varja, which means the topmost Varja of all the Haridasas, observant of Hari. We share some comparison with other persons who are, the other great personalities who are named Haridas in the Bhagavatam. Two more, who were?
Yudhishthira and Uddhava.
Yudhishthira Maharaj and Uddhava Mahasaya. And we explain many reasons why Giriraj, in comparison to them, an objective analysis, if you will, represents Bharja, the highest of these Haridasas. Many other things that characterize him, one of them specifically connected to the gopis. Mudis, Giriraj is offering his body as a playground for Krishna's exploits in general, which is basically what the gopis will like to offer in service as well. And according to our acharyas, like Raghunath Das Goswami, like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and others, the one who is speaking this verse, the gopi who is speaking this verse, is none other than Sri Radha herself. one more verse that she's speaking. This is not the first one. And basically we finished yesterday describing also how Giriraj can be approached or conceived mostly in two ways, in the context of Bhagavat Swarup as God himself, or in Bhakta Swarup as a devotee of Bhagavan, in connection to this Sandini, Sambit, Ladini, Pradhan, Vichars, these different types of perspectives predominated by one spiritual energy or the other. What else we mentioned yesterday? Also, we described briefly how Giriraj is exhibiting different modes of service, and due to his service attitude, different ecstatic symptoms come. Different sattvika bhav, different reactions, like his tears are the waterfalls, and the horripilation is the grass standing on end. And it is said that with his own ecstatic symptoms, he's facilitating further service. So because of service, he ends up in ecstasy, but his ecstasy is furthering, if you will, his service possibilities, and that creating further ecstasy and so on ad infinitum, basically. And basically we closed yesterday's class by mentioning how Giriraj is serving Krishna in so many ways. In this verse, some of them are mentioned, but in other scriptures it is mentioned she's serving Bhagavan Krishna in eight ways, and Srila Jiva Goswami in Gopal Shampu mentions Giriraj serves Krishna in 21 ways. So, which are those 21 ways in which the best of pujaris, Giriraj, is serving Hari? We will see that today, among other things. And let's see if we can continue today, finish all the things that we would like to share. So let's go one by one with each one of these 21 upachars or ingredients for worship. Generally, we hear this description of Sodasada upachar, 16 ingredients, but here Jiva Goswami adds five to the equation. So let's go one by one through the 21. And how is that Giriraj Govardhan is offering that? And there's a sequential order in these elements, as you will see. So first of all, we have asana. So one is offering a seat to the personality. One is about worship, a special place to sit. So how Giriraj is offering asana? He has different rocks, jewel rocks, that are very fitting, like a throne, if you will. Some form of simhasana and jewel, the jewel in simhasana. So that's the first one, asana. The second is Swagata Gita. So Swagata is like when you say Swagatam in India, like welcome, welcome. Some songs of welcoming. When some special person comes, some songs are there to welcome the person, some praise and so on. Some suktas in Shastra, we have the Purusha Sukta and some others that sometimes are recited to welcome the deity and so on. So which is the Swagatam, the Swagata Gita of Govardhan? Well, different cuckoos and parrots he has there. So when Krishna is entering the hill, all these cuckoos and parrots are singing songs of welcoming Sri Krishna. Then the third one is Padya. So Padya is water for worshipping the feet. So again, there is a whole sequel. It doesn't only apply to Krishna. Even if a great personality visits one home, sometimes these type of standards are there. First, the person is seated, some words or songs of prayer for the person, then washing up the feet. So, similar with Guru in some way, this can be applied. And of course, we are not washing the feet of the Guru because his feet are dirty or something, but because our hearts are dirty. So we need to clean our hearts, and by touching the feet of great personalities, and eventually receiving the water that washed those feet, that's called in our tradition Maha Maha Prasad. Great, great mercy, which comes in connection with those items. The water washing the feet, the dust of the feet, the remnants of the food. So, how Giriraj has offered this padya, or water for washing the feet? He has very special, specific pools or ponds, scented ponds, perfumed ponds, with specific water for that particular service. We'll say that there are many forms of water here. Giriraj have different extensions of water to facilitate each of them. So that's the third one, padya. The fourth one is argya. So argya is another type of water, but water for drinking, not for washing the feet. It's another water. So in this case, again, Giriraj have another type of ponds specific for the occasion, with also some water with special fragrance for being drunk by Sri Krishna. So we will see. He has some ponds for that, some ponds with water for washing the feet, some ponds with water for bathing. Different waters are required there. So that's the fourth one, Argya. The fifth one is Achaman. So Achaman is mostly water for washing the mouth. So again, it's all water, but with different functions. So there's different waters with different scents and so on. So sometimes we use Achaman after drinking water, after eating, and so on. So in this case, Giras has some particular legs, like our leg, tinged with clove. Clove, you say in English? Clove, like nutmeg, and like other spices, which sometimes I offer even to the deity as tambul or something to wash one's mouth and refresh after eating or something. So that's Achaman fifth. The sixth one mentioned by Srila Jiva Goswami is Madhuparka. So Madhuparka is a mixture of honey and milk that sometimes it's also offered to the deity, and Giriraj is offering that to Krishna. So there's honey in Giriraj. It's generally the trees have sap, you say? Sap is coming, but in the case of the trees of Govardhan, honey is coming from the trees. So it's a special type of perspiration, transcendental perspiration. No, those are the tears of the trees. No, that's the way how it is described. Trees do not have sap, but trees cry honey. So again, if you have to touch on rasa tattva, you need to speak in terms of poetry. So kavita, you need na. If you want to rasa prachar, you have to take shelter in kavya, in poetry. So again, the honey is coming from the trees, and the milk is coming from the cows. It's full of cows and it's full of milk. So there are even ponds of milk. So many cows, so much affection, so some ponds in there. That's the sixth. Let's go to the seventh, which is snan. So snan is another water. Snan means bathing. So there are waterfalls in Giriraj, in Govardhan. Or sometimes it is said poetically that some peaks of Giriraj, like penetrate the clouds and create some water to fall. So somehow it's connected with water from Giriraj, because Giriraj is penetrating the clouds on purpose and creating some particular rain when that's required. But if not, there are some waterfalls there as well. So that's the snan or the bathing. That one, again, all these things generally are offered to the deity. And here Giriraj is offered to his deity in his Bhakta Sarup. Then we have Vastra. So Vastra means clothing, offering new, fresh clothes. So which is the clothes that Giriraj offers? So it is said, there are different things, but in this case, it is mentioned that he is offering bark from the tree. No? The bark, you say? Bark? Bark from the tree. So Krishna Balaram wore bark from the tree, like natural clothes, organic clothes, no, directly from Giriraj. No? You say bark? It's like, bark? Yeah. Made of bhava. And that's the important point here. All the elements here, remember, are made of spiritual substance, spiritual emotion. So it's not just bark. It's a particular spiritual emotion taking the form of bark. And Krishna and Balaram dress and ornament themselves with bhava. That's actually their ornamentation. So that's the vastra, the clothes that Giriraj is providing. No plastic, no. Which is this ingredient they use in clothes? That is polyester, nylon, no, pure organic elements, straight from. Then we have the ninth one is Gandha. So Gandha means, in this case, it has to do with smell, so aroma, something aromatic. So it has to do with sandalwood pulp, also in this connection. So there are sandalwood trees in Giriraj. And it is said that sometimes a paste is made with the sandalwood pulp, with the tulsi leaves, and with minerals from the mountain. That's called Hari Chandan sometimes. And Krishna is putting that in his body, refreshing and creating some nice aroma. The tenth is Pushpa. Pushpa means what? Flowers, exactly. Or garland or flowers in this case. So, I mean, no need to clarify all the many flowers that are there in Giriraj to offer to Krishna, different species and so on. So that's the 10th, Pushpa. The 11th is Dupa. What means Dupa? Pujar is here. Esa Dupa. Incense, exactly. So Girasiti said that sometimes create some occasional fragrant smoke, somehow. Manifest some smoke in the hill, but it's fragrant. So that's the incense that is his offering. Dup. Then Dipa. Dup, Dip. Dip means? The lamp. Yeah, the ghee lamp generally offered. As you see, we offer in the ceremony here in that order. Dup, Dip, ghee lamp. So which is the ghee lamp that Girasiti is offering? There are some rocks in the hill that are covered by grass and by other ingredients, so you don't see the rocks, but some others are like on the surface, and their surface is even like shining. So it is said that when Krishna is moving, somehow the rocks move along with him as if they were offering arti, like accompany his movements, and it seems like they are offering arti. So this way, Giriraj is offering Dipa. Then comes Naivedya, number 13. Naivedya means the offering of what? Food, yeah, boga. So Girash offers, you can imagine, many things. Ripe fruits and roots and nuts and grains, grass for the cows, which eventually become milk, and so many things come from that. So these are the famous, like, set of five, no? Like Gandha, Pushpa, Dupa, Dipa, Naivedya. But it says sometimes if you don't have all the ingredients, at least you should offer those five. Gandha, Pushpa, Dupa, Deep, Naivedya. Like some paste, some aromatic paste, some flowers, incense, lamp, and bhoga. Okay, we see that Giriraj is overflowing in offerings, 21. So let's go to the 14th. 14th is Avaranam. So Avaranam means ornaments. So Giriraj is ornamenting Krishna with so many things, with leaves, peacock feathers, minerals that Krishna decorates, and his friends. And one special item that Giriraj has as decoration, which is Gunjamala. So this is a very special fruit that you find there in Giriraj, which is like a little fruit. I don't know, this size. You can see it there, right? I don't know.
I don't have it.
Okay. And it has three colors. No? It's red, black, and white, yellow, something like that. So it is said that this represents Sri Radha for us in our tradition, Gunjamala. When Mahaprabhu gave Raghunath Das Goswami Govardhan, he gave Gunjamala. So he said, Giriraj is Krishna, Gunjamala is Radha herself. So you worship with that conception. So it is said that these three colors also have to do with Sri Radha, basically. No? The yellow has to do with her hue. The eyeliner is the black one. Sometimes it is said the red one is the lipstick. Or some others will say, the white is her outside, her hue. The black is her inside, because she's full of Krishna, Krishna Mai. And the red is her rag, her loving attachment to Krishna. The different ways one can explain poetically how this Gunjamala represents Sri Radha, and is one of the special ornaments offered by Giriraj. Then, number 15, we have Mokavas, which means spices after eating. Remember, there was some Naivedya, some offerings, so some spices after eating. So it is said that Giriraj gives tulsi for that, tulsi leaves. Krishna is using that as Mokavas. 16 is Arti, which is said that is performed through champak flowers that are present in Giriraj. No? Champak flowers are connected to Radha and remind Krishna of Sri Radha. And it is said that these champak flowers move themselves in a certain way and throw their aroma to Krishna. And that's the way that Giriraj offers arti to Krishna in that way. There is a whole of function with the breeze and so on in the lila. So that's arti. 17 is attapatram. Remember the word attapatram? We spoke that one in the verse about the clouds. So, what may be? Try to imagine. Attapatram, clouds. What you offer rain in the attic? Umbrella. Uh-huh. Umbrella. So, Giriraj has different, like, nikunjas or small like forest bowers, which act like canopies for Krishna, even if it's raining or too much heat outside, he enters there. And it's so thick that he's not being affected by anything. So it's like he's offering like a royal umbrella or something.
18,
we have Chamara. Visabhya Jana Seva. Chamara. So it is said that how is Giras offering Chamar? It's coordinating Giras in poetic way. It's coordinating with the Malayan hills, which are in the western part of India, very aromatic hills in that direction with sandalwood trees and so on. And Giras organizes, coordinates with those hills to send their breeze to Krishna after the Arctic. Also like a refreshment after that, as you offer Chamar at the end. So there are again many lilas with the breezes. Sometimes Radha and Krishna are together. And I don't know, Manjari will be offering Chamara or the peacock feather fan and trying to send like Sri Radha's aroma to Krishna with the fan, no? Like creating that particular Udipana and so on. Then we have Nunitya, 19. What does it mean, Nunitya?
Dance.
Very good. So who do the seva of dancing in Giras? The peacocks. Yeah, they are the dancers par excellence. And they open their feathers and they start to dance with Krishna. We already mentioned in some other verses. And Krishna starts to dance with them. And the two of them think, oh, here is another peacock. And I went, oh, he's a peacock. And so on. Indeed, Giras Govardhan is described as a peacock in Shastra. To say that if you have the possibility of looking Giriraj, you have to get a drone or something, and you can do it. Some people have done that. And you can see Giriraj from top, and it has the shape of a peacock. So it is described that his two eyes are the two kundas, Radha Kunda, Shyama Kunda, who are not on the hill itself, but on the area called Govardhan. There's a place called Mukharavinda in the Govardhan area, which is the face of Govardhan. There's one place called Putri, which means the feather, the tail, sorry, the tail, like the peacock tail, and so on. So it is said that when Krishna lifted Govardhan in the Govardhan Lila, all the peacock community was so happy, basically. You know? Like such special position Krishna is given to the peacocks. The peacocks were seeing Govardhan as their, again, Baba, the grandfather peacock for the community or something, because he has the shape of a peacock. And also one could connect that with Krishna carrying a peacock feather always in his head, as we mentioned that in the fifth verse, Barhapidam, which starts with that word. Krishna is carrying a peacock feather, and we conclude, well, the name of Sri Radha is in the peacock feather, and Krishna is telling to the world, I carry her over my head. But if you want to see Giriraj as a peacock, the peacock community in Vrindavan will feel, oh, Krishna is taking a peacock feather all day long on his head, showing the glories of Giriraj above his head, putting this hill above his head, basically. No? That's the 19, Nitya. We have two more. 20 is Gana. What's Gana? Singing, song, exactly, singing, offering, singing. So who do the singing? Kukus, for example, again. As the peacocks dance, and consider Krishna, he's one of us, one of the family. Cuckoos will sing and also will think, oh, Krishna is one of us, one cuckoo also. Because they have a similar hue, and also Krishna sings all day long through the flute or without it. So the cuckoos say, oh, another cuckoo here. So the cuckoos are performing this gana in the context of Govardhan. And 21, the last one is Sayan. Agacha Sayana Sanam. Pujaris, resting, put into sleep, exactly. So Giriraj is providing very comfortable capes for Krishna to rest in so many moments during the day. So these are the 25 items offered by Giriraj. 21. As they are described in Gopal Champu with Srila Jiva Goswami, and which make him, which more, much more reasons now, Haridasa Varja. All this in the context of Giriraj being named the greatest observance of Krishna. So again, Sri Radha, who is speaking this verse, and the gopis who are with her, remember she's surrounded by some gopis addressing them as Abala here, or friends. All of them are seeing all these 21 sevas, and appreciating the service disposition of Giriraj, but at the same time lamenting. One item after another, they're lamenting. Because they cannot do that. They would like to offer all those things to Krishna. They cannot do that. One item, second item, increases their lamentation. 21st item, they are rolling on the ground and crying, we are so unfortunate, and so on. So let's, for a moment now, after mentioning generally this 21st, dive a little bit deeper into the ones that are mentioned in this verse, which are the specific elements or the specific services that Giriraj Govardhan is said to offer to Krishna in this particular verse. Remember, all the things that are offered, like grass or like whatever, fruits, are the result of his sattvika vas. Ecstatic responses, which come from Giriraj's service, I would further facilitate further service and further ecstasy and further service and further ecstasy and so on. So for this we go to the last line of the verse. Paniya suyavasa kandara kandamolai. There are four things mostly mentioned there. The first one was paniya. What's the meaning of paniya? You cannot see at the file. Look at me. Water or some other drinkable substances. Yeah. So again, it refers to the water, that one of the main lakes, different lakes that are there for drinking water, that are water gushing from Govardhan's waterfalls, and Krishna and Balaram and his friends used to drink when they also wash their feet, wash their mouths, different types of water again. And also, as we mentioned, all Govardhan is not only offering water, but offering different tasty like drinks, like beverages with different fruits and honey and mango juice. I mean, whatever you ask, you name it, and Govardhan is like has the smoothie there for you, no? Basically. Pilu, there's one fruit called pilu. They make some pilu juice, and all this is implied in paniya. Again, paniya is not just water, but different beverages and fruits according to the necessity of the moment. Govardhan is facilitating them. So paniya. Then we go to suyavasa. Remember, yavasa meant grass. And suyavasa means very special, as they would say in India, very nice grass. So some acharyas have commented this refers to the durva grass, which is a special grass that is used in making ritualistic offerings. You may see when they are doing yajna, they touch things with bundle of grass that is being touched and used for dealing with other offerings in the sacrifice. That's it. Among other, the durva grass, which is a sacred grass. So Govardhan is offering that one. Also, as we mentioned, Giriraj is offering very succulent grass for the cows. The cows eat grass. So the cows eat the grass of Giriraj, and then they increase the milk production in Vrindavan, and the whole village increases financially, which is an important point for the Gopa community. I mean, they live on cows. They are cowherds, so their livelihood is on cows, so for that they need to feed the cows, and Giriraj is providing this grass. Remember in the Govardhan Lila, remember Govardhana means he who nourishes Vardhana, Go, the cows and the people who are like cows, and the cow people and Goloka and so on. And in the Govardhan Lila, when Krishna presents the case for cancelling the worship of Indra and directing all the offering to Giriraj, he makes that point. He may say, oh, you are worshipping Indra because he's the god of heaven and provides rain, and therefore grass is there, and cows are blah, 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 blah. He said, Giriraj is providing everything for us. You see Giriraj, and you see the grasses he's offering, and how the cows is actually, Giriraj is the provider. So we are to worship him. He's a nourisher. Govardhana. So he convinces Nanda Maharaj, and therefore the whole village. And we know how everything unfolds after that. Or Sanatan Goswami say, we could say that Krishna is offering, Giriraj is offering suyavasa, or very special grass, for the sake of a picnic. So it can be for the cows or for the gopas directly also. Because for the cows indirectly, the gopas end up honoring the milk products. But on a direct, immediate service, for the gopas to make some picnic, and there are soft grass for them to sit, carpet like, some Persian carpets of grass in Giriraj or something. Something interesting also in this connection is that the word suyavasa appears with a long U. So you can see, long is with some line above. And technically speaking, that's a grammatical error. There shouldn't be a U there. It should be with a short U, it doesn't have this line above. So the acharyas mentioned that this mistake actually is coming because of the ecstasy of Sri Radha pronouncing the verse, or Sukadev Goswami reproducing that verse, and therefore it's an ornament, it's not a mistake. That's what the Srimad Bhagavatam say, Tad Bhad Bhisargo Janataga Viplavodasmim Prati Shlokam Avadhavati Bhi. So maybe in this Bhagavatam, the Bhagavatam say, you may find some mistakes of that, of this order, of this type, but great personalities, Srimbanti Gayanti, what's the verse? Srimbanti Gayanti Sadayanti Sadaba. Srimbanti Grinanti Gayanti Sadaba. Great sadhus nonetheless hear and sing and repeat this message, despite these so-called mistakes. So again, these are the mistakes of the Bhagavatam, out of Bhav, out of ecstasy. Or we could say, in the appreciation of how the grasses are so special, because remember, suyavasa, su means special. But generally in Sanskrit you say suyavasa. You don't say suyavasa. When it's longer you say suyavasa. But if it's short vowel, it's suyavasa. It's not suyavasa. But in this case we could say that Sri Radha is like appreciated so much, I said, oh, this grass is so great. So we need to call it suyavasa. So sometimes we speak in that way in our language. It's so good. So something like this. And also interestingly, if we want to go with play of words, going back to Paniya, Paniya can mean water, as we mentioned, or it can mean even waterfall, because it's like a plural, and sometimes the plural is like abundance in quantity of something. So waterfall. And suyavasa also can mean, in Sanskrit, slide. Slide, you say? So if you put paniya suyavasa, because that's, if you make of the two words one word, one compound word, paniya suyavasa, then you have water slide.
Wow.
Here Shamananda has one more reason to become more serious in his sadhana, so he reaches as soon as possible. So Govardhan is providing to Krishna's his friends water slides. What do you think? Sounds fun? He likes that one. Huh? You go to the beach, you go to waterfall, you have to take Shamananda to water slide, poor of him. I mean, that would be an udipana for further attainments. So that's another meaning of suyavasa in connection, in conjunction with paniya. Some water slides in Giridhas. Then we go to the third word there, is Kandara. Kandara means what? Cave. Cave. So, to say that there's also, in connection to the Krishna and his friends, which is the main scenario depicted here, Krishna, Balaram and the boys, as you know, they play in Govardhan. Imagine a group of boys that are in a giant hill with different things to explore and water slides and whatnot, and caves. So if you have children and caves, I mean, hide and seek kijai immediately. No doubt. I mean, it's just, you cannot even, I mean, as you know, you have Agasur, it's a giant serpent, but for them it's like, wow, we don't know this cave. Let's explore this unknown cave. It seems it's a serpent. It's caves, serpent-like cave. Let's go. Even if it's a serpent, I mean, Krishna will do whatever he has to do to save us. Let's go. Let's enter into it. So, there, curiosity is the norm. It's like curiosity in this particular moment of their life. So these caves also are not just caves, because the point is we think of caves, we think like some black hole, dark hole, that you enter and it's just for boring yogis to sit there and stay for decades and, okay, I can enter, get scared and run as soon as possible or something. But these caves are very special, no? They are adapt in weather, for example. They have AC included. No? If it's too cold outside, the caves are hot, warm. If it's too warm outside, the caves are cool. And things like this, no? They are elastic in that sense, no? So they adapt to serve the purpose of each particular lila. And they are full of things. They are full of things that facilitate. I mean, they are full of, I don't know, beds, rooms. Again, it's not a cave as we think. It's more like a perfect room, fully, how do you say?
Furnished
and so on. This is what the agents of Indra saw when Indra sent all these clouds to bring all this rain to Vrindavan, want to kill the Vrajavasis. You know the story. After a week, and at one point they go, the agents of Indra, just to confirm that everyone is dead, no? and tell the news to Indra, because he was expecting that. No? I want everyone dead in Vrindavan. He was totally mad with anger. You can imagine anger. I mean, pride before that, and how is the saying? Pride comes before the fall. No? So, you have pride, you have anger. Krishna also describes in the Gita, yayato abhisayapunsham sangate supajayate, and so on. No? How from contemplating the objects of the senses come desire, and desire brings lust, attachment in the mind, and brings desire, and that brings anger, and you fall to the material pond again. So Indra was totally blind, and imagine, he wanted to kill Krishna and all the Vrajavasis. So he sent all these rains for a week, and at one point the agents goes to confirm. Everyone is dead. I mean, they want to confirm. But when they arrive, they see that Krishna is just like lifting the heel with his pinky finger. and they realize that they see, and below the heel, on the base of the heel, there were different caves on the base. And all the Vrajavasis were inside the caves and were singing and dancing and drinking beverages that Giriraj is offering, and they have different rooms. All this was in caves on the base of the hill. So these agents, you can imagine the type of report they gave back to him. He had to change his stance there. So full party there in Giriraj with all these caves, basically. And different rocks, even. You find different caves of different colors. I mean, we used to hear Dauji Gopal, the two of them are coming from Giriraj, and you see different colors are there. Sometimes called the Govardhan changes of color due to ecstasy. Sometimes you are in ecstasy and you become pale. So you see one pale Giriraj there in ecstasy on that side. See Balaram. So different things in connection to this principle of of the cave. There's a nice lila somehow connected. So I'll share it, and I doubt that we may finish today. Let's see, unless we can. You have time, and we can finish extend a little bit more. But there's one nice lila connect to Abhiram Thakur. Confirmed. That's a confirmation. So, what's the lila? Do not be distracted. Nityam Bhagavat Sivaya. We have half of the audience going to check, so you can make here. So once Mahaprabhu is doing kirtan in Navadvip, we are in Kali Yuga, Navadvip, Gaurlila Mahaprabhu, another form of Krishna that appears in Bengal 500 years ago or something. So he's with Nityananda Prabhu, which are Krishna and Balaram in another lila. So Mahaprabhu asks Nityananda, they're in kirtan, and then he's asking, where's Sridham? Sridham is one of the intimate associates of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. But now Krishna and Balaram in another lila in Navadvip, Mahaprabhu is asking for Sridham with his Braja Lila name, Sridham. So they are having lila. Where is Sridham? You know the story? And Nityananda is like, oh, he remained in Govardhan. He said, in Govardhan? Yeah. Govardhan? Yeah. Mahaprabhu never went to Govardhan yet in this lila. So he was referring to Krishna lila. So he remained there. Well, go and pick him, basically. Mahaprabhu is telling him, no? So Nityananda goes to Govardhan. They were in Navadvip, so he goes to Vrindavan. He starts to call Sridham. Sridham! 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 In Govardhan. So Sridham comes from a cave. That's the connection with what we are speaking here. The caves of Govardhan. So Nityananda is telling Sridham, Mahaprabhu is calling you. And Sridham say, who are you? To Nityananda. And Nityananda say, I'm Balaram. No, Sridham say, you're not Balaram. I know Balaram. And Sridham, you know who Sridham is. So I don't think you are Balaram. You are too small to be Balaram. For remember, in Dwapara Yuga, they have certain height. In Kali Yuga, everyone becomes a little smaller. somehow Sridhar was in Vrindavan in Govardhan from Dwapara Yuga still. We will see this story now. And Nityananda is coming in Kali Yuga. So he said, oh, you cannot be Balaram. I know Balaram. He has certain height. You are too small. And Nityananda says, I'm Balaram. I challenged you to something so you can prove that I'm Balaram. We have to run, have a race, a competition race, running around Govardhan 4 times. No, I mean, that takes some time. This is like 100 kilometers or something. So the one, if I defeat you, you will know that I'm Balaram. Because only Balaram can defeat you sometimes, to Sridhar. Sridhar is known for having quite a lot of strength in physical plays, games, and so on. So Nityananda said, if I defeat you, as I do sometimes in Krishna Leela, you will know it's me. So Sridhar said, okay, let's do it. So they start to run. Sridhar and Nityananda and Govardhan around Giriraj. So Nityananda wins. Nityananda Balaram, Ki Jai. So Sridhar accepts, okay, you are Balaram. So only him can defeat me, basically. So what's the news? Why you are coming? Sridhar asks. And say, well, Gaur is calling you. Krishna is Mahaprabhu is calling you. He descended in Kali Yuga, in Navadvip. And Nityananda say, why you are not part of the entourage? I mean, you are one of us. You are part of the eternal retinue. Why are you here and not there with us? And Sridhar says, well, we were playing hide and seek. Do you remember that day? In Dwapara Yuga, some 1,000 years ago, we were playing hide and seek here. You remember? And Nityananda said, yeah, I remember. And I was playing and I hide very nicely in one very nice cave. And I never knew that the game was over. And they just started another game there in Navadvip, another Leela. So I was waiting here in the cave totally excited, saying, wow, this is going really well. Nobody can find me. So I remained just waiting here for the rest of Dwapara Yuga, this first 1,000 years of Kali Yuga. And I was just waiting. I mean, if you play the game, you play really hard. You have to play it properly, basically. So I was totally excited. Nobody found me till now. I mean, this never happened for so long. I'm really winning, defeating everyone. So Nityananda said, oh, sorry that we forgot to tell you that we had another Leela and we left you. No? I mean, you played so well and we were so much into the new Leela that, I mean, we went there and you remained here. Sorry for that. But everyone went with Krishna's core there. Everyone is there. Only you are missing here. So Sridhar said, okay, let's go. Let's go there. Okay. So to say that Sridhar goes to Navadvip. And the moment that he goes to Navadvip, he becomes Abhiram Thakur, who is Sridhar in the Gaur Leela. And so to say that, somehow to say, when you go to Vrindavan, there's one cave in Govardhan, which say that is the cave that in which Abhiram Thakur was hiding. During the hide and seek, and eventually he also went there to perform bhajan. So somehow he's considered still doing bhajan eternally in that cave. And there are many caves like this in Govardhan. You have the cave of Raghava Pandit, you have the cave of the Saptarishi. There are many caves where it is say great personalities inhabit permanently. So one Leela in connection with caves in Giriraj, Gaur Leela. And of course, our hope is that someday our cave-like hearts, if you want to continue with the analogy, may adapt like Govardhan's cave to host our Ishtadev perpetually. That's what how we pray to Mahaprabhu. Sadahri daye kandare spuratova sachinandana. So kandare is there. May the lion-like Lord Sachi, son of Sachi, roar in my heart. And in this way, like he may chase away all the different monsters and ghosts, if you will, or animals, wild animals that are in that cave. In other words, all the separate desires. And may he get installed in my heart forever, basically. But we always say, if you want him to enter the cave, you also have to have the courage to look into the cave and to do some work there. You have to look into the bodegas, we spoke the other day. You have to do something there. You have to make your heart a cave in the sense of a hermitage, in the sense of a bhajan kutir. Your heart has to become a temple. Mam Mandir, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings. What's the temple? Heart. Someone asked once Guru Maharaj, one devotee told him, oh, I'm starting a very special project. It's like a $3 million, whatever, temple in this city? And our guru Maharaj said, well, I have a quite much more ambitious project than yours. So this is what I was like, what? It cannot be. I mean, this is the biggest, the greatest project. I don't have a biggest project. Oh, what's that? I'm trying to make a temple in my heart, he said. Okay. Understood. Okay, that's a real temple. Ultimately, you can make a temple outside. That's to help you to go to the temple in your heart. Like the other day, someone asked Guru Maharaj, so are you engaged in some project? Guru Maharaj replied, myself. That's a project. Enough, right? So in this way, we have to give our heart off, enter there and make the heart an offering. Not only we have to engage our senses in seva externally, not only we have to engage our mind, but we have to ultimately offer our heart, basically. So all our functions have to be properly surrendered for that. So, kandara, cave. So, and the last part, the last line is kandamule. Kandamule refer to edible roots or bulbs, you say? Bulbs and roots. So they say the government offered these soft edible roots and other things, as we mentioned, flowers and jewels and buds and minerals, so many things for Krishna to decorate the body, rocks to sit, polish rocks that act as mirrors. Sometimes the gopas want to see on the mirror and play with shadows and things like that behind. And in this sense, the word pramoda in this verse, remember Prabhupada referred to very eminent joy, refers to how Govardhan is giving pleasure to Krishna. Because generally the idea is Govardhan is experiencing pramoda by the touch of Krishna, Ram Krishna's feet. But also it can mean how Govardhan provides joy to Ram Krishna. The two meanings are possible. And again, as we mentioned, Govardhan is not only serving Krishna, but Krishna, Balaram, all his friends, all the cows, comprehensive seva. And also poetically, Kandamulai refers to like edible roots, but also like medicinal roots. Like you have in Ayurveda so many roots and leaves and herbs that are miraculous, basically. And it is said that Giriraj also has those medicinal herbs to offer Krishna when he's sick. Mostly Krishna's sickness is when he's lovesick, basically. The separation from Radha and injured by Cupid's arrows. So Govardhan offers some tea with herbal medicinal herbs to cure him from the sickness of separation and things like this. No? So, should I finish here or you have some little bit more of time? We have time. Okay. So, let's continue with some other lines of the verse. This was regarding the last line. Let's go a little bit before. Let's go to the second line. Yeah. Rama Krishna Charanash Parasa Pramoda. Govardhan is experiencing great joy by entering in touch with the feet of Ram Krishna. So Ram Krishna, again, Balaram is mentioned here. Krishna's brother is mentioned one more time. He has been mentioned many verses. Ram, not Bala, Ram, again, we say, no? When he's mentioned as Ram, he's delighting in something, no? Bala is more, he's in a Vira Rasa perspective. No? He's fighting with someone he has to, but here is more like enjoying life, if you will. So Ram. So of course, by invoking the presence of Daujil, the elder brother, again, the gopis are trying to hide their feelings for Krishna. They only see Krishna is too evident. So let's invoke his elder brother. And even if someone hears us saying something, well, we are glorifying Krishna and Balaram. That's legal. Everyone is doing that, so no problem. But again, for the gopis' inner conception, when they say Ram Krishna, when they say Ram, they are not thinking about Balaram. They are using, they know that others will think about him, but for them Ram means Ramaniya or Ramana, no? Who is a name for Krishna, charming, attractive, enjoyer, Radha, Raman. When we sing Ram in the Maha Mantra for someone in Gopi Bhav, Ram will refer to. I mean, someone in Sakya Bhav, Ram may refer to Balaram, but for someone in Madhurya Bhav, Ram will refer to Krishna. Ramanam, the ones who provides intimate enjoyment. And one could say, okay, for the gopis, Ram Krishna, refer Krishna, Krishna. But the verse say the word Tayo. Tayo means to both, which generally is applied to Krishna and Balaram. to both is not Krishna and Krishna. So how to justify the tayo, or to both? Then it refers, the Acharya said, to both of Krishna's feet. Ram, Krishna, refer one feet, the other feet. Or to the cows and the boys. Jiva Goswami mentions, to both. He offers, gives pleasure to Krishna, Krishna, and to both. The cow, go ganayo, then says the bears. No? To the cows and to the boys. Something like this. And Sanatana Goswami, let me read something that Sanatana Goswami said regarding Ram, Krishna, Chadanas, Prasabra, very nicely, speaking about, very ecstatically, how Govardhan is serving everyone. He says, Govardhan is always enthusiastic to bring about Krishna's fun in every way. So, enthusiastic to bring Krishna's fun in every way. Or, it eminently gives pleasure by that touch. Or, well, now comes many or it delights him, or it delights us. Or it delights the whole world. Well, at this point, Sanatana Goswami is almost fainting. or he's delighting everyone, not only Krishna and Balaram, but us. But who is not delighted by such a Giriraj? And what's the idea of here, interestingly, is sparsa. Sparsa means touch. So by one could say by experiencing the touch of Krishna's feet, Giriraj experiencing joy. But also sparsa means charity. So in this way, one could say. Giriraj is erupting in ecstasy because of donating to the world the charity of Krishna's pastimes. Allowing, he's a playground for those lilas, and he's donating, giving that as a donation, sparsa. And he's in ecstasy because of that charity he's giving, basically. And also the idea of charity gives a hint to the famous Dhanakeli pastimes, which are the charity pastimes. You know, that pastime where Krishna is like a tax collector. And it's a long pastime, and many books have been written about that. Dan Kelly Chintamani, Dan Kelly Komodi, only but for that lila. And the gopis coming with different ghee products to offering one yajna that is being performed in Vrindavan, and Krishna makes a whole tax, how do you say, tax poll? Poll? No, tax collecting like place in the midst of Govardhan with all his friends. They dress themselves like tax collectors. So the gopis are coming as, you cannot pass here. I'm taking care of that. The emperor of this area is Kamadev, Cupid, so I'm his agent. So if you want to pass, you have to give us certain charity. And there's a whole conversation, very, very rustic, very nice, very poetic, very beautiful. And eventually the gopis will say, no, we don't have to pay. You have to pay, because you come with your friends all day, with all your cows, you ruin the whole pastures and do nothing. You have to pay some tax for doing such a thing. Oh, and like this, you know, coming and going very, very nicely. So all this happens at the base of Govardhan. So it's somehow connected to the idea of charity. Give charity. So here, sparsa means charity. So some hint is given to that. Sanatana Goswami continues. Remember, he said he's giving joy to everyone, to this, to that, or. Not only Giriraj experiences bliss by the touch of Ram Krishna's feet, but by touching Govardhan oneself, I mean, if we touch Govardhan, one accomplishes the bliss of touching Krishna's feet, since Giriraj holds a treasure of the touch of Krishna's feet as he constantly performs various pastimes there. So Krishna walks so much on Govardhan that if you touch Giriraj, it's like touching Krishna's feet, because Krishna's feet are so much present in Govardhan that touching Govardhan is like touching Krishna's feet. So we have that portion. By worshipping Giriraj. He himself has that. I mean, Sanatana Goswami is saying this, and Sanatana Goswami knows what he's saying. We know the story at the end of his life. Sanatana Goswami made parikram of Govardhan every single day when he was even more than 80 years old. And to circumambulate this hill, I mean, it's not like a little sand dune that it takes 15 minutes and I'm done. I mean, if you have long legs like me and walk quite long, fast, it may take 4 hours. But you have to. 4 hours. So he was doing that every single day, and he was more than 80 years. So at one point, Krishna himself appeared and said, stop doing that. Too much. You are too old. Stop doing that. I don't want you to continue to. And Sanatana Goswami said, do not cheat me. Why you stop me from doing what I want? It's my service, my worship of Govardhan. No, I'm pained by seeing you doing that. It's like when Mahaprabhu told Haridas Thakur similarly, no? Haridas Thakur was very old and he was chanting 3 lakhs of Harinam every day, which is 192 rounds per day. Make the calculation, basically almost 24 hours a day chanting. Mahaprabhu says, stop chanting that much. I mean, Mahaprabhu is the personification of chanting a lot. He came for everyone chanting a lot. He's saying to Haridas, you are chanting too much. Haridas said, do not cheat me. I mean, do not make me stop that. He said, you don't need to chant that much. You are already liberated. You are a Siddha Purusha. You are a perfected being. Chant less. You are sick. You are old. No, I have one sickness. But it's not that. You know what's my sickness? Mahaprabhu said, what is? I cannot finish my prescribed number of rounds, he says. Which is your prescribed number of rounds? 192. I cannot finish that. And I'm lamenting because of that. Thank you very much. So similarly, again, Krishna said to Sanatana Goswami, stop doing that.
No.
Yes. No. Yes. No. Mm-hmm. So Krishna said, okay, let's make it, sign a contract or something. He brought one rock of Govardhan. Krishna himself put his feet on the rock. The rock melted and Krishna's footprint remained there on the rock. He put his cowherd stick on the rock. The rock melted. The tip of the cowherd stick is there. And he put his flute on the rock. The rock melted. The flute remained there. He took the flute back. And then he said, this Govardhan Shila particularly is like, you circumambulate this Shila 4 times. And it's the same thing that if you circumambulate the whole thing, heal. So we have a deal here. So Sanatana Goswami accepted. Yeah? So in this way, that hill is a hill in one rock. It's like this side or something. It's in the Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan. So if one can circumambulate it, the whole temple is in this very nice place to circumambulate 4 times and you do a Govardhan Parikrama. I mean, that's not an excuse to not do the other one. But yeah. So Sanatana Goswami, my point is he knows what he's saying when he speaks about cow. By touching Govardhan, one is touching Krishna's feet. He himself was circumambulating this Govardhan Shila with had Krishna's lotus feet imprinted there. Let's go to the word Abala, which is an interesting word for the female audience especially. Abala means woman, but Abala, if you analyze the etymology, means weak. So what's going on here? Some chauvinism in the pages of the Bhagavatam? No. Of course, in one sense, one can say, and this is not being sectarian or something, that the women are weaker than the men physically. So, I mean, it has nothing to do with being less inferior or superior. I mean, they are much stronger in so many other ways. So it's just one particular dimension. One could explain this word on that level, which of course is not the actual explanation here. We will see that it goes far beyond physicality and strength and all that. Or basically the gopis of Sri Radha here saying we are in separation from Krishna. Remember, all the gopis here are in separation and they are dying and they are becoming weaker and weaker in one sense in separation, even physically. So they call one another all weak ones because they are about to die in separation from Krishna. So that's one. The acharyas mentioned mostly this direction. Or the gopis are so stunned, like paralyzed in separation from Krishna, they do not have the strength to even walk one more step. Like when you are about to collapse, you are weak in that sense. Oh, another one, this is interesting, regarding Balaram. Ah, Bala. So they are not mentioned, remember, they say Ram Krishna, somehow they mention Balaram here and there. But although they mention Balaram in many verses of the Bhagavad Gita, the gopis, these gopis, have nothing to do with him. No? In the sense, they are not attracted to Balaram. So they have nothing to do, with Balaram. Remember, the sometimes is like the, how do you say, antonym in Sanskrit, in English? So, Bala is Balaram. A Balaram is no Balaram. I mean, not offending him, but just like we invoke him, but we are just in the direction of Krishna. So in this way, Radharani, who is speaking this verse, Sri Radha, is addressing her friends, saying, "Ah, Bala," like saying to her Sakis, I mean, we have nothing to do with Balaram. We are using him with all respect and service, our Dauji, but our focus is Krishna. And the main idea of Abala given by Sanatan Goswami, I will read what he says. He paraphrases Sri Radha. And according to Sanatan Goswami, Sri Radha is saying, by our inability to do what the heel does, we are not even qualified for dasya, for servitude. The good fortune of this kind of service cannot take place in us. Gosh, what bad luck. We are deprived of joy, any kind of power or fortune, as well as the association service of mercy of great personalities. That is why we are weak. So that's basically the meaning of Avala, by Sanatan Goswami. So before finishing, I want to share a little bit the background of Giriraj, since we are speaking about Govardhan here, how Giriraj came to Vrindavan, because I mentioned that yesterday, right? That Giriraj came at one point. So how does a mountain arrive to a place? So there are different, as you imagine, histories and background histories. Also Gayatri was inquiring today, will be something about Ram Lila. Yes, there's always something about Ram Lila. But before going to Ram Lila in Treta Yuga, let's go to Satya Yuga. Let's travel in time quite considerably to the first of the four ages of the cycle of four. And in the Vedas, there is one Brahman mentioned in one section of the Vedas called Govardhan. This one Brahmin called Govardhan in Satya Yuga, again, who was doing tapasya. Tapasya means penance, like austerity. And he was worshipping Mahavishnu and asking him, I want to serve you. Allow me to serve you in whatever way. And not in whatever way, but how is it was expressed, like in every possible way. I would like to serve you in all the possibilities, as much as I can, and so on. So it is said that eventually he was the one who was born as Giriraj Govardhan, as a heel serving Krishna in so many ways. No? So it is said that then, when Govardhan was in Vrindavan and Krishna came in Dwapara Yuga, and he knew this heel who he was before, he was this Brahmin who was doing so much tapasya in Satya Yuga. He was basically not eating, not drinking. He must be very thirsty, very hungry. So I will organize for him to have a very nice meal and a very nice series of drinks. So he organized, somehow he arranged with Indra to send 1 week uninterruptedly of rain. So some nourishing of water is coming there. And let's feed Govardhan, Anakut. Before the Govardhan Lila, such a big feast was offered. So Krishna was trying to, okay, now hopefully you are satisfied, my dear Govardhan. Sometimes it is said also that after the Govardhan Lila, as an aside, Govardhan was kind of hidden in Vrindavan out of humility. He was not that well known, that famous. But after Krishna lifted for a week and showed his glory, it became like totally well known. So, we went to Satya Yuga and then we jumped to Dwapara Yuga, but something happened again in Treta Yuga. Let's go to Treta Yuga for a moment and to the Ram Lila. So, in Treta Yuga, it is said that there is this story when the monkeys are constructing the bridge in the Ramayana. The bridge to crossing the ocean, and they are putting these different stones, and for the stones not to sink. Thank you. They were writing the name of Ram, so they will float mystically. So they say that Govardhan at that time was already there, because remember the Brahmin was in Satya Yuga, so Treta Yuga he was there as Govardhan, as a heel. So he heard, oh, Sri Ram needs some items for making a bridge to cross the ocean. I mean, you want to cross the ocean, you need pretty long, big, much stuff to make a bridge. So Govardhan wanted to offer himself as part of the bridge, you know, as a big heel, like facilitating. So it is said that Hanuman was there. You know? Hanuman knew, oh, they are about to construct a bridge. So Hanuman went straight to Govardhan. He knew Govardhan. He knew this will be a big important part. So when Hanuman is taking Govardhan, he had the capacity of taking Govardhan. We know that he took the whole hill when he went to save Lakshman. He needed to find some medicinal herb for Lakshman. That's another story. And Hanuman didn't know which is the herb and how much of the herb he needs. Well, I take the whole mountain just in case, no? And we will arrange everything over there. But I take it everything, not just a little bit of herb, but I take the whole thing. He was ready to take the mountain Giriraj for the bridge. And when he's taking Giriraj, he hears a conch shell, in which Sri Ram was announcing the bridge is finished. Just there. Like when Krishna is about to kill Bhishma in Kurukshetra, you know the famous picture, and he's the conch shell is sounding. No killing. I remember, that's an aside, but we have time today. I was speaking with one person in Argentina some years back. He was hearing one Bhagavad Gita course that I gave some years back in Spanish. And he told me that he was hearing this verse. I was explaining this verse, Nami Bhakta Pranashati, in Bhagavad Gita 9:31. When Krishna says to Arjuna, declare boldly that my devotee never perishes. So, of course, the story is why Krishna is telling Arjuna, you declare it. Why Krishna himself is not saying, my devotee never perishes. And it's the background story is because he knows that he says it, maybe some will not believe him because he had to break his word before to protect his devotee. And we know the story is this one. No? So, I'll tell the story. So, as we know, Duryodhana in one part in the midst of the Kurukshetra where he was concerned, we will lose the whole thing. And Bhishma, who is our main card in the game, he's not doing his best because he's biased towards the Pandavas who are on the other side. And he was like kind of disturbed by this, and he went to Bhishma like implying, you are not giving your everything in battle. And that's why we are losing something. And for Bhishma, it was like, oh, I mean, Kshatriya pride. I mean, you don't tell that to Kshatriya. Or you tell that if you want them to really. And that was the idea of Duryodhana. I will pinch his pride and he will give his best. So Bhishma, particularly Bhishma, if you know who Bhishma is, I mean, you cannot even think that he's just doing things like halfway. So he thought like, oh, you believe that I'm not giving my best and I'm biased. Tomorrow I promise I have five, how do you say in English? That do not miss. There's a word for five arrows that never can miss the target. Infallible arrows. So tomorrow I will use these five to kill each one of the five Pandavas. So Duryodhana was like, yes, it worked. Sometimes you have to pinch someone's ego for some things to work. But Krishna was omniscient and he knew what was going on. So he spoke something at the ear of Arjuna. No? So Arjuna goes to visit Duryodhana. They were cousins. They were fighting against each other. But at that moment, the fight was not going on. The fight had happened on some period of the day. And during the night or something, sometimes they will meet, the two, no? They will speak and share, and then the next day trying to kill each other. Something like that. There were some, it's another, we can difficult to conceive, but there were certain ethics in there. So Arjuna enters the camp of Duryodhana. No? And Duryodhana says, Arjuna, oh, such a surprise. Nice day of fight today, right? Yeah, that was nice. So what do you want? Arjuna said, do you remember that one day, some years ago, I saved your life and you promised me that whatever I will ask you, you will give me? Duryodhana said, yes. So he's such a wicked person, but on a certain level, he's willing to. Yeah, I'm willing. What do you want? You want me to stop the battle? I can cancel Kurukshetra right now. No, I don't know. I don't want that, Arjuna said. Do you want this? I don't want that. No. So what do you want, said Duryodhana? Ah, I forgot something. Sorry. When Bhishma mentioned I have these five arrows, Duryodhana was so like, he was not good for trusting people. So he said to Bhishma, give me those five arrows and I will keep them with me just in case something happens. He was feeling maybe he gets repented and he breaks it. So I will keep them till tomorrow and I give it back to you. So Bhishma gave the arrows to Duryodhana. So going back to the situation, Duryodhana asked Krishna, so what do you want? And Duryodhana said, I want those 5 arrows that you have hidden below your pillow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something like that. And Duryodhana was like, how do you know? And of course, no, he had to give them. Well, he gave them to Arjuna. He had to follow his word. So the next day, Bhishma comes and asks Duryodhana, give me the 5 arrows. And Duryodhana was like, what happened? And Duryodhana said, this happened. And Bhishma said, Krishna. Krishna is behind all this. It cannot but be him. So he said, okay, Krishna wants me to break my word, because Bhishma said, today I will kill the Pandavas. So he enters into Kshatri mode, the Vira Rasa in which he relates to Krishna. He has a love with Krishna, very much affected with this like chivalry mode. He said, Krishna, whom Bhishma loves, actually, as we know, in his last moments, he wants me to break my vow. I promise to kill the Pandavas. I will fight in such a way, even without those 5 arrows, that I will force Krishna to break his vow. So let's see who makes the other break his vow. This is how Kshatriyas work. So which was the vow that Krishna made? I won't participate actively in the battle. I will only be Krishna, Arjuna's charioteer, you see? But I won't fight. So Bhishma said, I will fight in such a way that I will force him to fight and break his vow. So the battle starts, and Bhishma doesn't have the 5 arrows, but he starts to fight in such a way that at one point he starts to attack Arjuna. And Krishna was Arjuna's charioteer, Uber driver. So he starts to attack Arjuna to such a point that he's about to kill Arjuna. And when he's about to kill Arjuna, Krishna is looking that and says, I have to protect my devotee. So he goes down from the chariot. He takes one of the wheels of the chariot that had been like destroyed. And he takes, like, if it were Sudarshan Chakra, he approaches Bhishma, like, to kill him. And there's a nice painting to depict this scene that Krishna is with, Arjuna is, like, falling here, and Krishna is with the wheel on his hand. And Bhishma is, like, like, waiting for that, no? Because he loves Krishna. He said, the best thing I can receive is being killed by him. He's like, but when he's about to kill Bhishma, conch shell sounds. And end of the day of battle. That's the meaning of it. So, Krishna didn't kill Bhishma. But Bhishma made Krishna break his vow. And that's why Krishna, in this verse in the Gita, said to Arjuna, you declare that my devotee never perishes. Because if I say, nobody will believe me, I'm breaking my vow at every moment for the love of my devotees. So that's the great. He breaks his vow to accept a higher vow, basically. So going back to what I was saying, this friend of mine in Argentina was hearing my series of lectures on the Gita, and I was narrating all these things. He was, interesting, he was riding a bicycle in the street, and hearing that is a dangerous combination. Because, I mean, you get that absorbed in the narration. So he was riding and hearing, no? And this happening, and this, and stalling of the arrows, and Bhishma attacking Arjuna, and Krishna taking the wheel, and he's about to kill Bhishma, and he's about to kill Bhishma, and I make like some sound of the conch shell, and he at that time he told me he hears like one sound like of a big truck stopping in front and playing the horn like, and when he comes like he had a truck here. He forgot totally what he was doing. He was riding. He was almost to be killed. He was like a parallel version of what's going on. He was like, we were laughing. We were saying, wait, if you were to be killed in that moment here in the Bhagavad Gita, that was so auspicious also. And yeah, that would be good also. Yeah. He was so absorbed, not like leaving the body in that moment. So, going back to the other story, we are here on meta narratives. We were where? Ramachandra making the bridge, remember? And Hanuman about to bring Govardhan to. For that, and conch shell is sounding. End of the bridge, is done, and Giriraj doesn't have the opportunity to offer service to Ramachandra. So Hanuman sees the lamentation of Giriraj and starts to cry himself. Not only Giriraj is crying, Hanuman is crying. And he says, in this life, in this life, our Prabhu, our master, won't be able to place his feet on you, because if he will be there as a bridge, Ramachandra will place his feet on him. That was the hope of Giriraj. Oh, Sri Ram will place his feet on. But in the next, in his next descent as Krishna, he will place his feet only in you, basically. And he will place his feet on you not as a bridge, but as a destination. You will not be only a bridge. Not because a bridge, you cross the bridge and you can burn the bridge, something like that. But Govardhan is not a bridge, it's a destination. On a daily basis, Krishna is going there to Giriraj to play there. So Hanuman is giving that blessing to Giriraj in Treta Yuga. In Dwapara Yuga, Ram will come as Krishna, and you will be not a bridge, but a destination in itself. So both embrace each other, Giriraj and Hanuman. So similarly here, Sri Radha is remembering all the things, and now Sri Radha is praying to Hanuman, please bless me in the same way. As you bless Giriraj to receive the touch of Krishna, bless me so that may happen. So all the things are happening also in Sri Radha when pronouncing this verse in between the line. Please Hanuman, bless me in that direction so I may attain that. But actually, again, how Govardhan came to Vrindavan, we didn't say that yet. This was a little bit of background, actually. No? Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, and so on. So now, let's go back again to Satya Yuga, but also to some mentionings in Shastra. For example, in Garga Samhita, it is said that Krishna, and again, I will extend some minutes with your permission, Krishna told Radha, I will descend on earth. In Dwapara Yuga. So Sri Radha said, well, but if you go to on earth, Jamuna has to be there, Vrindavan has to be there, and Govardhan has to be there. If not, I'm not pleased, which implies I won't be there. So we say, no, everything is already there. Krishna confirmed, indeed, Govardhan is already there. Before I'm going, Govardhan is there. So how Govardhan appears, it is say again, previous birth as a Brahmin and so on, what we mentioned, and then he's born. Not in Vrindavan, but he's born in the Himalayas as the son of Dronachal. Dronachal is another mountain. Yes, mountains have children, mountain children. So one mountain having another mountain. So Dronachal is the father, and Govardhan is born in Satya Yuga as a hill, and Dronachal is his father. So one day, one sage called Pulastya Muni comes. Was a sage who was living in Varanasi, and he liked to do tapasya meditation, but it's said that in Varanasi there were not many hills and proper environment for that. So he was traveling, he was a mystic, he could travel at will. So he saw Govardhan and said, oh, nice hill. I would like to take this hill to Varanasi, to my place of residence, so I may have a nice stage for my practice. So he goes to Govardhan's father, Dronachala, and asked, can you give me, when sometimes in tradition in India, a sage visits a place, then some dakshina is to be offered. So what do you want? And many times in Shastra say, give me your child. Oh my God. So this is the case here. So Pulasu is asking Dronachala, give me your children, your child, your son, Govardhan. Oh, Dronachala was like, oh, my child. But he's a sage. If I do not give, who knows? He may curse me. What will happen? Okay, Giriraj. We will give a Govardhan. But Govardhan say, okay, I'm going, but one condition. No? There was some contract there, so they have to sign. One condition. Pulastya will take me to his place, but whenever he puts me back, he will take me flying. He has the potency of doing that. Whenever he puts me in one place, I won't move from that place. So Pulasya said, yeah, no problem. I will take you to my place and you will stay there. Okay, good. So he starts to fly, Pulasya, and at some point of the journey before reaching his place, just when Pulasya is flying above Vrindavan, Govardhan say, oh, Vrindavan. Already he's aware of all that has to unfold. So some arrangement is made that Pulasya is taking Govardhan, and he feels a very urgent need to attend the call of nature. He had to go to the toilet. mystic yogi, self-control, but suddenly he had to go to the toilet. So he said, okay, 1 minute, I'm just coming. So he puts Govardhan in Vrindavan, where it is now. He goes and he says, okay, let's continue. And Govardhan said, no. I told you, whenever you put me, I will move from there. No, but I mean, I went just to the bathroom. It was 1 second. I mean, you signed the contract, see. So Pulasya didn't like the situation and he was not able to fully harmonize and he cursed Govardhan. And so he went like, he took some water. Say, I curse you that every single day your size will diminish to the size of this mustard seed. Some say see, some seed, I mean, similar. So every day to say that Govardhan from that day on is diminishing in size, basically. Which for Govardhan is good, because Govardhan, all this happened in Satya Yuga, so Govardhan feeling, okay, but I'm being here in Vrindavan for when Krishna comes, and Krishna will come in Dwapara Yuga, and Dwapara Yuga people is much more smaller, so I will be also smaller, and that will be more similar size for the size of Krishna and his associates, so they can play. If I'm too tall, Satya Yuga size, that may be not practical for the Lila in Dwapara Yuga. So Viras accepted the curse happily. But of course, we also, in a deeper sense, we conceive, actually, the diminishing of size of Giriraj is, I mean, he's Haridasa Bharja, the greatest of Hari's servants. So how can he be affected by the curse of one sage, with all respect to a sage? He's quite above the sage. So some devotees like to think, actually, Giriraj is diminishing in size by separation of Radha and Krishna. By separation before they came, and by separation after they, enfolded their pastimes. And he's disappearing more and more and more and more, and mostly, eventually, to say that he will disappear totally in Kali Yuga, and only his two eyes remain visible, Cham Kunda and Radha Kunda, which means the tear-filled eyes of separation of Govardhan from Radha Krishna. Some two more things and we are finishing. Not two, a little bit more. That's the main history of how Giriraj came to Vrindavan. But interestingly, by Bhishya Purana, it is mentioned that Giriraj Govardhan manifested directly from the heart of Sri Radha. That's an interesting statement. And Sri Radha is quite connected to the whole Govardhan Leelas. We know ultimately the Govardhan Leela, when Krishna was lifting Govardhan, at one point his hands started to tremble. He's quite strong, as we know, what all the Brajavas are thinking. You know, he's not so strong. His friends will say, pass me, Sridhar will say, give me the hill to me and you take rest for a while. Or just sort of say, he's not eating enough, I will feed him more. So he's feeding. Some friends are massaging Krishna's arm while he's all in their Braja psychology. None of them are thinking, I mean, you have 7 years and you're lifting a hill for 7 days. With your pinky finger of your less powerful hand, something extraordinary is happening. No, they're not thinking like that. I think he needs strength, he needs massage, put it in your other hand, give it to me, and things like this. That's the psychology in Vrindavan. And at one point, the finger starts to tremble, and and everyone is like, oops, what's going on? And Balaram is looking at Krishna, he realizes what's going on. He realizes Krishna is looking at Radha. And no problem, everyone can look at each other at that time. Radha can look at Krishna directly. And nobody will suspect because everyone else in Vrindavan is looking at Krishna directly also. And Krishna is looking at Radha and in ecstasy he starts to tremble and the whole hill starts to tremble. And Krishna is looking, Balaram is looking at Krishna realizing, now I understand why you created this whole Govardhan Leela. That was only ultimately to have darshan of Radha without no one noticing for a week. Right? He said that in the mind, like elder brother, I caught you. So Krishna at that moment is in shyness is like... And this is the famous image of Krishna's Nataji, famous deity of Krishna, which is lifting Govardhan, but his two eyes are looking downwards. Like, oh, you caught me. So that's one intimate connection of Radha with Giriraj. And of course, also they say sometimes that Krishna lifted Giriraj because he felt bad about walking on Giriraj himself. He would like to touch Giriraj's feet, Krishna. So he said, I will lift Govardhan, which means I'm touching the foot soles, if you will, of Giriraj. So basically, in this verse, just closing, Sri Radha is lamenting. In the same way, remember, going back to this history, Giriraj left his father in the Himalayas, Dronachala. Giriraj left his father, his family, and went to Vrindavan for the sake of Krishna. But we don't have, we are a bala, we are weak. We don't have the strength to leave our family duties and join Krishna as Giriraj has done. So Sri Radha is reflecting about the background story of Giriraj and connected that to their situation. Giriraj left everything without consideration to go and join Krishna. We are not doing that. We are not able to offer our bodies in service to Krishna as Giriraj is doing. And Giriraj removes in Vrindavan unmovable in service of Krishna. That's another idea of the hill. You cannot move a hill, basically. He left his family. Then he went to Vrindavan. He was cursed by a sage. He didn't care. He remained in Vrindavan serving Krishna. He didn't care for any curse, for any attachment. But we have to attend so many duties. And if we run to Krishna, our family will curse us. And so therefore the lament here, basically. Despite taking birth in Braj, we have not been able to do any seva to Krishna. Our lives are in vain, and their cry and their purvarag again gets closer and closer to its end, and the relationship with Krishna will be consummated. So this way, with very deep appreciation and very deep lamentation, Sri Radha is praying in this verse, and similarly, we should pray to Giriraj so he may do the arrangement to facilitate our service. He's very expert in creating service opportunities. He himself is the playground on which Krishna is executing all that. As we said the other day, he's the divine rock star. He's a rock, but not only rock, but a rock star. So we pray to Giriraj so he, the rock star, can melt our rock-like hearts, basically. So we may be inspired to follow his unparalleled example of divine service. So some words we want to share today to conclude. Somehow conclude is never ending, but we have to, so we can continue with the next verses. So somehow this will be the last verse in the Venu Gita, in which specific personalities are being pointed to, like the deers, like the cows, now Giriraj. So tomorrow, no, not tomorrow, I think the day after tomorrow or something, we will go to the verse 19, which will be like a general description of the general effect of the flute on the whole of Vrindavan. And then we will go to verse 20, which is like the closing up of the whole chapter by Sukadev speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. Shri Gurudev ki jai, Shriman Mahaprabhu ki jai, Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. Shri Dauji Gopal ki jai, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Venugit ki jai, Kol Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Kol Pramanandari, Vande Nanda Brajasri Nam Padare Nama Bhikshna Sajasam Harikatudkitam Punati Bhuvanadaya.